Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
But right now, we welcome in President pro tempore of the Senate, our friend Senator Martin Looney from New Haven. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Joe, and good morning, Ray.
I didn't know if we'd get you on after the Red Sox got walked off last night.
Oh, that's a sensitive spot. I know, right? they would have to go probably 30-11 for the rest of the season to have a shot at the second wild card. It doesn't look possible at this point.
No, it doesn't. You and Joe Courtney and, you know, all the Red Sox fans can have a little pity party this year because you've been too dominant. Emily Munson, who we have on a lot from CT Hearst Media, uncovered this, and it's about the fact that Connecticut hospitals, a lot of them, a dozen, charge patients a trauma activation fee, and nobody knows how much this is, and that's going to change. Can you talk about that, Senator?
Yes, we became aware that hospitals do charge the trauma activation fees, which is the activation of all those who have to convene to deal with a trauma case that comes into the emergency department. And there are 12 designated trauma hospitals in Connecticut at different levels, 1, 2, and 3. These fees are currently unregulated and undisclosed, except I believe that when Emily questioned all the hospitals, Hartford Hospital disclosed its fee, and the other 11 did not. But we did pass a bill that would require the disclosure of those fees so that we can analyze whether there is any kind of price gouging going on there and whether those fees should, in fact, be regulated and limited.
And we should mention this is a bipartisan effort.
I mean, yes, this is not just a bipartisan effort. This, along with several other provisions, were contained in Senate Bill 42 that passed the Senate with, I believe, unanimous bipartisan support. And what we did then was include the provisions of that bill, and there were several others in addition to the one regarding the trauma activation fees. And it was included in the budget in order to make sure that the elements of it would not get dismantled and would be held together.
And these are pretty healthy fees,
yeah.
Am I right?
They can be. We hear in other states they are quite substantial. I think in Florida there are some hospitals that charge up to $10,000. There are some in California that charge more than that.
And the thing is, their excuse is, what is their excuse for justifying this?
I'm not sure, since normally a trauma hospital you would assume would have the trauma personnel on duty, ready to go.
Yeah.
I guess they say it's the cost of gathering them in and getting them all to assemble in the emergency department at a certain time. But it seems to me that you would assume that's one of the things that are included in the designation of a trauma center. But we'll find out more about it now that we have legislation requiring the disclosure of those fees and an explanation of how they're imposed currently.
When you started to find out about this, and you and your colleagues in the Senate decided to work on this, to make these fees public, what kind of cooperation did you receive from the hospitals? Did you have to kind of like chip away, or were they ready and willing to come out and tell you what the fees were?
Oh, they certainly were not. In fact, the original bill that I put in was more ambitious. It would ban the fees altogether, and as you can imagine, that set off consternation. But that was put out there just to begin the discussion on the bill. And, of course, they were all in a panic about that. But really what we needed to do is to do this study to find out who imposes the fees, what they are, how they can be justified, and then the next step would be regulation.
And the thing is, Senator, that I would ask is, at what level do you apply this fee? In other words, if you come in with a hangnail or a kid with a fever, does it apply to that?
Well, that's what we'll find out. When are they imposing these fees? Do they differentiate them based upon the difference between a broken arm and a gunshot wound? These are all things we'll need to find out as we do this. We did have another bill, which is part of the same package, that would require that insurers actually cover someone who makes an emergency room visit in good faith that they have a serious illness. And some insurers were denying coverage of somebody who might have had an attack of gastritis and thought it might be a heart attack and went to the emergency room.
Right.
And the position the insurers were taking was, have a real heart attack and we'll cover it, otherwise not. But now we've adopted what's called the prudent layperson standard. As long as someone is having symptoms that a layperson might interpret as being serious enough to go to an emergency room, that should be covered.
And when Emily Munson tried to get the information out of the hospitals, it sounded like they passed the buck, and it was somebody else who said, no, we're not going to give you the numbers.
I think it was the Connecticut Hospital Association,
right,
speaking on behalf of all the hospitals that said that.
Yeah, and there, and we should. I just want to say the hospitals are Bridgeport, Connecticut Children's Medical, Danbury, Hartford, Norwalk, St. Francis, St. Mary's in Waterbury, St. Vincent's in Bridgeport, Stamford Hospital, Waterbury Hospital, Bacchus in Norwich, and Yale New Haven. Those are pretty prestigious hospitals.
Oh, they are. They're the major hospitals in the state. I believe Hartford Hospital did disclose.
Yes, $2,200, it says.
I don't know whether that's a flat rate, but it seems to be, regardless of how they, what the nature of the trauma is. But none of the other 11 were willing to disclose anything.
How did Emily figure this out? I mean, you know, a lot of times you get a hospital bill, and you don't. If you take a look at it, all of a sudden you're appalled at what some of the charges are, like the legendary $5 aspirin tablet. How did she find this?
Well, we brought it to her attention about the genesis of the bill, and then she did her own research on the individual hospitals and how it was imposed. Another element that we had in the same proposal is one that will also impose some other regulations into a study of high deductible health plans, and that's going to be important also. We also had a provision that will require insurers to make a determination in terms of an urgent care request for treatment or medication to require the hospital to make that determination within 48 hours rather than 72, which is our current standard. So there were a number of significant consumer protection elements that were contained both in that bill, Senate Bill 42, and then the provisions of that bill were all placed in the state budget.
And just to be clear, is this a bill already? Is this something?
This law, these provisions were included in the budget bill that
right.
was passed
okay.
by the governor.
Okay.
Yes.
So these are now law. Senator, to switch topics quickly because we only have a minute left, do you see any special sessions on the horizon?
I believe we will have a special session in September, speaking of hospitals, on the issue of the settlement of the lawsuit brought by the hospitals against the state of Connecticut over the imposition of the hospital tax that's been imposed for a number of years. Our understanding is that the Lamont administration is very close to having a settlement of that. We would have to come in to ratify that agreement, and we set aside $168 million from the budget reserve fund in order to cover that settlement. And my understanding is that will be ready for a vote in September. We'll also have to come back to vote on our bond package and perhaps a couple of other items as well.
All right, but nothing with the T word forthcoming.
Unless there's a negotiated agreement on that, a transportation agreement that might at this point involve that issue is connected to our bond package
right.
to some extent, because the governor wants to put some more general fund bonding money into transportation. And there has been some discussion about whether or not there could be some partial tolling of bridges, but it hasn't been made specific yet. But that is out there as a potential.
We always enjoy talking to the Senate President pro tempore, Marty Looney, who represents New Haven, Hamden, and North Haven. Senator, thanks. Keep
thanks
the faith. You
on.
Can't. You know, you Red Sox can't win every year. Just understand
you
that.
So. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, Senator. Yeah. He's a good guy. We like talking to him. And hey, this is that's crazy. They can charge those fees and you don't know what they are.
If you read Emily's article,
yeah.
I mean, in California, there's one, a University Medical Center, that charges $64,900.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I mean, come on.
Come on. Who's going to pay? How can you pay that? The insurance company's not paying all of that, I don't
probably
think.
Probably not.
I would guess not.
We'll arrange easy payments
yeah,
for you.
Sure.
Don't worry about
$7,000 a month.
God.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.